Psalm 4, here we go. Let's get back into this, and if you were here the last couple of weeks, you know what's going on here. You know the study that we've sort of jumped into here in Psalm 4. This will be the last day that we study it, and we're coming to the end of this psalm, and just an excellent psalm here. It's a window into the heart of David as a father, and how appropriate that we end this series on Father's Day. Let's go ahead and look at it and refresh our memory over some of these verses. It's a short psalm, but notice what it says in verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only maketh me to dwell in safety. And so we're looking here at how David grieved for Absalom. Really, there's a cloud that sort of overshadows this psalm because of the complexities between a loving father and his wayward son. And we've noticed several principles. Beginning in verse 1, we looked at the fact that David approaches this problem by taking his care to the Lord. We just sang about that. We've sung about that the last 3 weeks. I hope that this has become a pattern in your life where maybe there's some worry, maybe there's a problem, and your first instinct is to not to dwell and mull through it or to worry about it, but to take it to the Lord. Lord, this is an issue that's come up, and yet it's not too big for you. And Lord, I want to take my cares to you. And so David does that. This is a relationship issue for him. And he takes that care to the Lord. He says, hear me. He says, he's crying to the God of my righteousness. He says, thou hast done in the past. And he asks and pleads for God's mercy. And then in verse 2, we saw that David addresses the object of his grief here. Okay, so it's almost like David now is having that conversation, almost like Absalom was in the room. Okay, except this is just more an expression of desperation to the Lord. Absalom, I don't believe Absalom was present for this, but it's almost like if Absalom were here, if Absalom would have drawn himself to me, okay, if Absalom would not at this moment be off doing what's wrong, these are some things that I would communicate to him. And Lord, I'm going to communicate them to you. And so what do we find from the heart of David as he addresses the object of his grief? We see that he does so with great respect in verse 2. He's not trashing Absalom here or the men that are really leading him astray or have partnered with him, but rather he addresses him, O ye sons of men, in a respectful manner. He says here a very convicting statement. He says, how long, in verse 2, will you turn my glory into shame? We talked about this last week. What is that phrase talking about? What was David's glory exactly? Well, we looked at the psalm previous and we find that that David's glory was God. In fact, he says that. He says, Lord, you are my glory. You are the purpose that I live, and you are the object of my love. And here David is saying to Absalom, by the way that you are living, by the way that you are making these decisions, you are turning my glory into a shame. And, I was thinking about this, and I didn't get to share this last week, but I remember when Philip was really small, and it was just after we had just come here. And we were in the gym one night for some particular function, and I know Miss Christina will remember this, but I think we told him it's time to go, and he lost it. I mean, he just lost it. Do you remember that? He just threw himself on the floor and just went in full meltdown mode. Okay, and He only did this a couple of times, by the way, but it was sort of out of nowhere, like, okay, he apparently wants to stay. All right. And we were dragging him out and then into the elevator, and the doors closed and the screaming stopped, and not for us, of course, but I just remember, like, wow, what are these people going to think of us? All right. How are we raising our children? Okay. That was an embarrassing moment. Now, most people could look at that and they could say, okay, all right, here's a baby. They do those things. Okay. That's just part of the thing. All right. It's part of growing up. Believe it or not, when you were a baby, you did those things. Okay. I know it's hard to believe, but that's just how it is. And yet David is in a situation here where Absalom's a grown man. Okay. People can look at this situation and say, well, wasn't he taught? Well, didn't David do his diligence and bring up Absalom in a right and a proper way? And Absalom's out there bringing a shame to that which was David's glory. And it's a sad thing. We talked about how children are in honor to the Lord and should be. Okay, you have the ability to bring great honor upon your home and your parents. We talked about in Psalm 127, if you were here last week, about how children are illustrated as arrows that mom and dad shoot out into the world. And they go out and they make a difference. And that's traced back to mom and dad and the hard work that is put in through parenting. And so it's hard for us to understand David's heart until you're really in that situation. Do you understand what it means to have a relationship with a child, to put yourself and your life into them, and then to watch them do well, or maybe, as David's case, see them make poor decisions. So he addresses here the object of his grief as if he was present. He says, "My glory, you turn my glory into shame." He says, "You've run after vanity and leasing," or rather lies. And then if you look at verse 3, he says, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call." This is a difference. Okay, David says, listen, the way that you've been living, okay, the lies and the vanity, realize that God wants no part of that. Okay, this is a very different life than the one that God blesses, because God does set apart him that is godly for himself. We talked about that last week, and God deals with people who are honoring and obeying him differently then he deals with people who are like Absalom, have closed themselves to the truth and begun running after vanity or other things. And so David addresses that. He says here, "The Lord will hear when I call unto him." What a privilege. He says, Absalom, you don't have that privilege. God's dealing with you differently. But on the flip side, I have that avenue to be able to communicate with God, to see him work. I can bring my care to him. I can see him work. I know he cares for me. I get to see him answer prayer. And what a blessing that is for all of us, right? Notice with me now verse 4. And this is where we left off last week. And we'll finish out verses 4 through 8 here, the time that we have left. Notice now what David says. And David, he's going to instruct Absalom. He's going to say, Absalom, listen, this is the road back. Okay? You're over here. God's dealing differently with you. And now I'm going to share with you how to get back. Okay, because I want you to understand, teenager, there's always a road back. And that is the beauty of the Lord. His mercy, his long-suffering nature that so many times we abuse, he always gives us the opportunity to come back. And boy, that's a blessing. That's a blessing that we shouldn't abuse, we shouldn't take for granted. And we should be really appreciative of. And so David's going to give that. He's going to say, Absalom, listen, it's not too late. It is not too late to make better decisions, to turn your life around. And so notice what he says. He says, he gives us three things. He says, stand in awe, sin not, commune with your own heart. Notice stand in awe here. The verbiage here that David is giving, it has the idea of to be moved. Okay. To be thrown into a commotion or disturbed. Okay, now that sort of goes contrary to maybe the picture of standing in awe, but the idea is here that David is trying to communicate is, listen, stop doing what you're doing. Okay? Just stop. Stand in awe. Okay? Take some time to zoom out of this situation you're in, Absalom. And so many times people who have made repetitively bad choices in their Christian lives sort of just get wrapped up in a snowball effect. There's something called a downward spiral. And so often when a person takes a step in the direction of disobedience, whatever that may be, so often that is accompanied by another step and then another step. You see in David's own life, when he took that step of choosing to stay home when kings went off to war. Okay, the Bible says just before his sin with Bathsheba, he stayed home. The Bible says it was a time when kings went off to war. He chose to stay home. Okay, now we're not told why. Maybe he was tired, but at least the Bible tells us that that was a time maybe when he should have been elsewhere. And so what does he do? He goes out through his window. He beholds Bathsheba. And what do we have? We have another issue and then another issue and then the downward spiral, which eventually leads to him killing a man, having a man killed. And that so often can happen in our lives when we close our mind to truth and we don't care and we just go in another direction. That's what's happening in Absalom's life. Well, he started off with his sin with Tamar and that issue that surrounded that. He takes some time away for himself, then he comes back with a vengeance and says, you know what, I'm going to dethrone my father. And he does it in a deceitful manner in which he tries to commune with people in the gate and tries to get them on board with him and secretly, you know, gain their allegiance. And then one step after another, then he declares war against his father. And then there's a battle. And of course, we understand Absalom ends up losing his life because of it. But again, there's always a road back. And that road starts with taking a second. Stand in awe, David says. He says, sin not. He says, listen, don't stop missing the mark. Okay, you know, you can make a choice right now to not do that anymore. You can make a choice this day that, you know what? It's wrong, and I'm not going to do that. Stop missing the mark. Stop coming short of the mark. And anybody has the choice, they can do that. And then he says, third of all, he says, stand in awe. He says, sin not. And he says, commune with your own heart upon your bed. The word here, commune, has the idea of to meditate. Now, in this day and time, when somebody laid down to go to sleep, okay, they went to sleep. All right? Because they didn't have a cell phone that they could, you know, or an iPad that they could sit up in bed with and just kind of, you know, waste the hours on social media, you know, saying things that you regret or whatever. They didn't have that going on. Okay, when they lay down, the intent was to go to sleep. And so if you can just kind of picture it in their day and time, Absalom saying, listen, when you go to lay down and you're sitting there contemplating what you're going to do tomorrow or the events of the day, you need to sit down and you need to meditate on what's happening in your life. In other words, draw some conclusions as to the choices that you are making. Now, some people don't want to commune with their heart because they know what it'll say. Some people do not want to take time to do that because they don't want to come face to face with conviction. And so for that reason, there's always a party going on in their lives. There's always a party. They're always listening to music. Maybe they go to sleep with television on or a show on. When they ride in the car, their earbuds are always in and there's always something being talked about, always something being. David's saying here, listen, when you lay down to sleep, what is your heart telling you? Is there conviction in your life? Are you allowing the Spirit of God? Are you allowing your conscience to speak to you? And David says, hey, slow it down. This is the way back. And look at verse 5 now. Look at verse 5. He continues. He says, David says here, listen, offer the sacrifice of righteousness. I want us to look here at what I think is an interesting thought. Go to 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel and chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. When I read this passage, this is the instance in which came to mind, 1 Samuel chapter 15. And notice, let's see here. Notice verse 22 and 23. Okay, so this is Saul. All right, this is Saul has done wickedly. Okay, he's new king of Israel. Samuel's talking to him, right? Notice verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Okay, get the principle here that Samuel is saying. Because Saul, I did wrong. Okay, let me give a generous offering to the Lord. Okay, let me just give a generous gift here, and that'll appease my conscience, and then I'll be able to go on with life how I want to. Okay, and Samuel catches it. Sam says, "Oh, wait a second. It is much better that you obey rather than just giving a large gift." Okay, and maybe the application in our day with somebody who maybe their conscience has been pricked a little bit. Maybe they've not been to church in a while, and so, hey, you know, I need to get back to church, and I know I haven't maybe been living the way I should, and okay, so I'm going to go to church, and you know what? I'm going to give something. You know, let's see, what can I give? And maybe they give a generous portion, and then they feel good. You know, like, yeah, I gave. And then they start their week, and maybe they're just on to doing other things, and maybe they don't come. Okay, that would be maybe the application for our day. But go back to Psalm 4, because I want you to see the parallel. Notice the parallel of what we're seeing here in at least David's speech. What does David say? Because he mentions sacrifice, but it's the tail end of this that I think is the most telling for us. And he says here, offer the sacrifice of what? What is it? The sacrifice of what? The sacrifice of righteousness. Okay, so David doesn't say, hey, Absalom, come back and offer a generous sacrifice. No, David says, listen, commune with your heart. Stop sinning, okay? But come back and offer to God the sacrifices of righteous living. This is the road back. David's given to him. He says, Absalom, listen, don't forget the generous offerings. Get back to living for the Lord. And really, it's that simple. You say, what's the path back to God? Well, it's number one, it's reckoning with your own heart, realizing the wrongdoing you have done and confessing it. You say, well, what do I do from there? Start doing the right thing. Boy, it's that easy. And you find that the Lord will assist you in that. Notice the next verse here. He says, offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. What's he saying here in verse 6? David here is drawing a comparison now to worldly thinking. He says, okay, there's a lot of people today, Absalom, who are looking for good for them. Okay, that's the purpose of their life. They make decisions and they go and gravitate towards that which is good for them. And maybe David had Absalom in mind here in that. Absalom, You're just seeking what's good for you in your mind. You think it would be good to be king, so you're pursuing that. You think it would be good to have great riches and have all of the kingdom, and so you're pursuing that. And he says that's a very worldly attitude. People live their whole lives basing on what is good for me. And what is the second part of this? He says, but the contrast here is he says, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. He says, that's worldly thinking, but understand this, Absalom, good comes from the Lord. People spend their whole lives making decisions that are contrary to the truth, and in the end, they're empty. Because they're seeking good for them, that is unattainable outside of the Lord. Do you see the contrast? David's saying here, listen, don't invest your life or live your life in a way that you're just in the pursuit of what's good for you. Understand that living in the light of the Lord's countenance is what brings good. And he describes that in verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. Okay, talking about what comes from the Lord. The Lord puts gladness in my heart more than in the time of their corn and their wine increased. He says, hey, listen, man, he's living for what is good for him. And when the wine increases or the food increases or their possessions increase, they say, hey, all right, now I'm getting ahead. Now this is what I'm talking about. David says, listen, in contrast to that, listen, I don't have to have any of those things, and my gladness surpasses that. And that's the way God works. Listen, God can fill your heart in ways, your heart and life in ways that seeking what's good for you never can. Boy, David is desperately trying to get that across to Absalom. Notice the final verse here that we see. He says, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than time of their corn and their wine increase. And David says this, listen, Absalom, when I lay down, you know what I lay down in? I lay down in peace. I lay down with sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. He says, listen, he says, I have great peace in my heart, which allows me to receive the rest that I need. And I bask in the safety or security that I have in the Lord. He says, Absalom, you don't have any of those things. Chances are you have a hard time going to sleep at night because you have a noisy heart. Chances are you don't have security because you don't know when any of these people that you have joined yourself with are going to betray you or stab you in the back. And the joy that I have in the Lord is something that you're not able to identify with because you're off doing your own thing. Absalom, and I wish that we could say, he chose to turn his life around and do the right thing. But we understand that everybody has that choice. Absalom made his choice. Of course, we understand our biblical record, it was a very poor one. Hey, we have the opportunity to choose the Lord today. And I pray that each one of us would do that, recognizing that when we do, boy, we bring great honor to our parents. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for the biblical record of David's words here. Lord, we're looking into a very sensitive issue. And yet, Lord, you knew that it was profitable for us. Lord, I pray that we would not choose wrong. Lord, we would choose right. And Father, we would realize just what comes from that pursuit. Lord, how your countenance upon us is priceless. Lord, speak to our hearts in the morning service. Be with Pastor Jeremy as he brings the message. In your name we pray. Amen.